Good Sunday morning. This is Angie Carpenter. It's great to be back with you this morning. And, you know, the name of this broadcast is There's Hope. And my father, Joe Owings, named the broadcast that because he wanted you to know, and I want you to know, that there's always hope in Jesus. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, or where you're headed, on the cross, he bought for us a hope and a future with his mercy and his grace. In the past few weeks, we've been meditating on time, the concept of time. We've been shifting our human ideas of what time is to match God's ideas and his word. My friends, my dad, Joe, he did everything he could, humanly possible, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, to live by the Word of God. Because he knew that his thoughts and his ways weren't going to bring him happiness and peace in life, but God's ways and his Word would. And I want to follow in his footsteps in that, my friends, and I am, and I want you to too. You know, God's way of thinking about everything, and specifically about this subject we're talking about time, it's very different from ours. God is wholly other than us. He's not like us. He's not human. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Friends, our thoughts will, take us off that slippery slope, right down into the dumps. I don't know about you, but I can be a Debbie Downer in a quick minute. But when we're diving into God's Word, into reading his Word in his presence and with his guidance, all of a sudden we begin to think higher thoughts. And we become privy to a higher way of doing things. You know, in the Psalms it says in 119, his word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our paths. Sometimes we can't even see the next step in front of us. The dark is so dark. But if we dive into his word, then we have light for at least that next step, my friend. So when we think about time in our human mindset, we have a mindset of poverty. Our thoughts are thoughts like, I'm out of time. I've wasted too much time. You're wasting my time. Or there's never enough hours in the day. But my friends, God views time differently through the lens of eternity and through the lens of abundance. And he's not restricted or limited by time, for he dwells completely outside of it in a never-ending circle of eternity where there's no beginning and there's no end. And that's why the word calls him the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. So if he is outside of time, then why are we in it? Well, he created it for us. It's his gift to us. Our lifetime, from our very moment of conception to our death, is this space that he's given us to develop our relationship with him, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to grow in his likeness or not. My friends, some of us, we're growing in his likeness. We're made in the image of God, and we're growing continually in that, and some of us are not. Some of us have no desire to grow spiritually or otherwise, and some of us really do, but we just don't know how to yield to him. You know, time is sacred, and it is holy. In Genesis 1:14, God said, Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, such as days and years. My friends, the seasons and the cycles of days and years, they are sacred to the Lord. They have a meaning and a purpose. We talked in weeks past about knowing the season that you're in, knowing if you're in a winter where things need to lie fallow, where some things need to die, whether you're in a fall where things are turning brown like the leaves and turning loose and you need to let some things go, or whether you're in a spring with new life popping up through the ground, a summertime when there's so much fruit growing in you. We need to know what season we're in, my friend. And these seasons are ordained by God. And I will tell you, friend, that if you are in a long, sustained winter, a hurtful, hard, difficult, frozen place in your life, you gotta start speaking to the enemy of your soul and tell him in Jesus' name, God never intended for me to be in an eternal winter. No, that's what the enemy wants for you. That's not how God does things. He does things in seasons. You know, and in these seasons of life, he wants us to use those to learn, to grow as opportunities to become more like him. Time, my friends, is the spiritual currency in the kingdom of God. When we think of currency, we think of money. That's the currency of our culture. But in the realm of the spirit, the kingdom of heaven, time is our spiritual currency. You see, my friends, God wants us to be good stewards of our time. He's trusted us with it. We don't know exactly how many months, years, days, or hours we'll have in this life. Only he knows that. But when our time has come and we meet him face to face, he expects a return on his investment. You know, my friends, my dad was a successful man in his lifetime in many, many areas of his life. But he had the perspective of heaven. You see, if he held a dollar or a hundred or a thousand in his hands, he did not consider that money to be his. He considered only that he was a steward of that money for the sake of Jesus and for his kingdom. And the time that he was given here, he was accountable for that time because he knew that at the end of his life, when he stood before the Lord, he wanted to hear the Father say of him, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." And I know that he heard those words. You know, God's given us this lifetime. How are we stewarding our time? Are we spending it wastefully? Or are we spending it wisely? Are we investing our time, our energy, and our talents in ways that reap not just for us, but for eternity, for an eternal harvest for him that brings him glory? You know, my dad was a firm believer in personal responsibility. And so am I, my friends. As a school teacher, that's something I'm constantly trying to get across to my kids, to take responsibility for their own thoughts and actions and behaviors. as a mom. That's something I want to model for my kids and teach them as well. You know, God's way is stewardship. And we are responsible, 100% personally responsible, accountable to Him and to our spiritual family for our time, our talents, and our energy. If we have an area of our life where we feel out of control, or our time is just being sucked away, drained away, we've probably given up our God-given authority and stewardship over our time. The Lord told us in His Word, redeem the time. That means take it back. When you redeem a coupon, that means you're getting the worth of it out of it. He wants us to redeem, find worth, purpose in our time. You know, as women, can't speak for the guys, but I know that we have mastered the art of giving away our time and our energy. As Christians, good Christian people, I'm talking to you, we believe that it's right and good and holy to give. And it is. It's scriptural. The Word says if we give, He'll give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll be poured back on us. But my friends, some of us lose intention in our giving. And we're not giving for the right reasons. We're giving because it makes us feel good about ourselves, or we're giving to others to get a pat on the back. Maybe there's a sneaky pride behind our giving, a feeling of being better than. I don't know, you know, our hearts can be deceptive. But I know that Jesus modeled a kind of giving that was done with wisdom and awareness. You know, Jesus had masses of people following Him, much of the time pressing in on Him. And He was giving a lot. He was pouring out everything He had to them. But Jesus gave with intention and awareness, and He pulled away at times. He pulled away to be with His 12 closest friends. And then sometimes just with the three. And then other times, He went to solitary places and spent time alone with His Father. Yes, Jesus was a giver, was the giver. He gave His time and His energy and His virtue, His very spiritual life to others. But He did it in obedience to His Father. He said, in so many words, I'm not just out here doing whatever pleases me, whatever I think is good or right. No, I'm only do what my Father, what I see Him doing. Oh, my friends, I wish I could say that. That my hours of my day are spent in obedience to my Heavenly Father doing what He wants me to do. Not just what seems good in my own mind. You see, Jesus modeled stewardship over our spiritual currency of time. He spent His time with intention and with purpose. He spent His time where the Father asked Him to spend it. In Luke 8:42-48, it says, as Jesus was on His way, the crowds almost crushed Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but yet no one could heal her. And she came up behind Him and she touched the edge of His coat, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing all around you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." You know, my friends, most of us are familiar with this story. What a terrific story. And we focus on the woman who was so persistent in going after the healing that she needed from Jesus. But I think maybe we've skipped over the important part where Jesus was surrounded with masses of people. Why did it matter to him that someone had touched him? He felt the power go out from him. You see, Jesus was aware that his virtue, the spiritual power or energy, had left his body. And I'm sure, my friends, that he was happy for that woman to receive her healing and touched by her faith. But you see, he stopped and turned around and he asked, "Who touched me?" Jesus insisted on knowing to whom and for what purpose. His virtue had been spent. Friends, do we know where we're spending our virtue, our energy, our time? Do we know who is draining us and who is filling us? And if someone is taking spiritual virtue from us, friends, is it for their good, for their healing, and for a divine purpose? Or is it just sucking everybody dry? Do you know, friends, where your energy is going? And when you're all spent, do you know why and where you gave out all of that energy? Can you account for your time? Imagine, my friends, that each day of your life is like a crisp, new $100 bill. Not just any $100 bill, but one with an eternal value that was given to you by God. Will you spend it? Will you save it? Will you invest it? How will you spend it? Where will you spend it? And on whom? Or will it be stolen for you? What could steal it, or whom? What, my friends, is really worthy of the investment of our time and our energy? You know, some of us fill up every moment of our days with just stuff, not bad stuff, just life stuff, everyday stuff. And it's as if every minute's like a dollar in our hand and we spend it as fast as God puts it in our hand. What if, my friends, what if instead of just throwing our time to the wind, we held on to it and invested, saved it, so that we could make a huge down payment on something worthwhile in the spirit? You know, my friends, it's okay for us to excuse ourselves politely from things that are wasting our time or draining our energy. I don't know about you, but it's very easy for me to get overcommitted. And I don't mean doing meaningless things that aren't important. I mean doing the good stuff. And I can begin to feel angry and burn out. Yeah, I'm a lot like Martha, you know, when she was banging the pots and pans around the kitchen, you know, slamming the cabinet doors, because there she was again, having to do all the work while everybody else just enjoyed themselves and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus was so clear. He said, "Mary, she chose the better thing, to sit at my feet." My friends, We have a choice. We are responsible for how we spend our time. And we can release ourselves, free ourselves from our seemingly good Martha task that make us feel angry and overcommitted. Now, friends, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to be a Martha. It's not. I praise God for people who are willing to just get in there and do what it takes to make something happen. I thank God for people who are willing to take out the trash at the house or at church or at a business. People that are willing to do this simple task of service. But friends, we need to have balance and intention in those things. This can be really difficult when the tasks are done in service to Christ and in faith. We can begin to confuse serving Him with knowing Him and being intimate with Him. Friends, serving Him is not the same as having a relationship with Him. Friends, this week, every time you get a chance, trade a task for a moment of relating with someone. Trade a task and an effort for a moment of connection, a moment of listening, really hearing someone in your life. You know, busy bees. Our busyness can become a form of numbing ourselves because we are in emotional pain. It becomes a way of numbing our emptiness and our hurt. And busyness can also be a means of avoiding vulnerability in relationship. We can use our busyness and our packed schedule as armor against being hurt. Sometimes we're just too busy because we need to make everybody happy, please others, and we're not able to say no, and we really need to set aside some time to learn about boundaries and begin setting some boundaries to learn how to say that most important word in the English language, no. And especially for us Christians, it can be really hard because we think we're being selfish and unChristlike. But in truth, my friends, what is unChristlike is spending the time that God has given us in ways that He's not directed us to do so. You know, if I gave my son some money to go to the store to pick up dinner, and I gave him a list of things we needed to cook up the dinner, and he got sidetracked by the cute little girls out front in their Girl Scout uniforms and spent it all on cookies, and came home with bags full of cookies and no groceries for dinner, well, you know, I wouldn't be too happy about that. And some of us are doing that, my friends, with our time. We're spending it on something good, something sweet. But it's not what God's directed us to do with our time. Friends, this week, let's do more of the Mary stuff. Let's spend time sitting in the presence of the Lord with our Bibles open on our laps, worshiping Him, letting Him speak to us through His Word. And let's focus on relationships with the people in our circle of influence. And focus on feeding and building those relationships instead of on task. And yes, let's be responsible to the work that God has given us to do. But let Him guide us and let go of things that are draining us dry. Let's be good stewards of our spiritual energy, our virtue, and our time, like Jesus. Amen, my friends. May God bless you this week, every moment of your time. be redeemed in the name of Jesus. And I'll see you back here next week.